Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, not a threat, but something to be closely monitored. That's what the Taoiseach said earlier today on the presence of four Russian ships off the Irish coast over the last week. The Defence Forces have confirmed that four Russian vessels, including a Russian naval vessel, were observed off the south coast within Ireland's exclusive economic zone. To discuss this and other issues, including Europe Day celebrations, which are ongoing, I'm joined by Minister for European Affairs and Defence, Peter Burke. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Can I ask you first of all about those four Russian ships? Are they there illegally?
Well, first of all, as you're all pretty aware, that many vessels transit through our EEZ. And obviously, if they're doing so just to transit through it, they're entitled to do so through innocent passage without being infringed. But obviously, since 2022, in terms of the risk that has escalated in relation to our critical infrastructure for energy and pipelines, that our current Navy have been really working harder in terms of the patrols they're doing near and adjacent that critical infrastructure.
Is this innocent transit then?
Well, it's very difficult to say. It looks like, for all intents and purposes, that there's a lot of posturing going on. It's pretty strategic on behalf of the Russian Federation and what they're trying to do. They're signalling to the international community. But from our perspective, we have to keep up our surveying, ensuring that we are monitoring that critical infrastructure, because that is very important to our country. We are, through our Navy. I was actually down myself in Hall Boland in my last ministry to see the data analytics that come right in there that can really monitor that 200 nautical miles right off our coastal waters, which is our exclusive economic zone. And the Navy have very strong capabilities in doing that and monitoring that. And as I said, it's so important in terms of that important infrastructure that we monitor that very closely. And we have patrols.
Have they been in communication with the vessels?
Not that I'm aware of. So
has the Irish government been in communication with the Russian embassy to decipher?
Not that I'm aware of at the moment.
No.
Because in the first instance, these vessels are entitled to have passage through international waters without being infringed, unless they are spotted or seen doing something that's untoward or that is infringing on international law.
And has the surveillance spotted anything untoward?
No.
How long have they
been
in Irish waters, Minister?
Well, I understand they've been observed just over the last few days. There have been four Russian ships that have been observed just over the last few days. Now,
when you say few days, are we talking two or three or four?
Over the last week, I understand.
So
but
seven
I
days.
Do know... Pardon?
So they're there 7 days and we don't know what they're doing.
Well, in terms of what our job is on behalf of the Navy, is to ensure that they are not infringing international law. And from our perspective as a country and from the Navy's perspective, we have not seen them infringing international law. And that's the basis we would take action, obviously, if a significant threat emanated in terms of any strategic infrastructure, or they were engaging in activity that did infringe the law. Well, then obviously that would be a different situation.
Don't know.
But at the moment,
we don't know. For example, as AIMTU have been suggesting or questioning, if these vessels are mapping or interfering with subsea cables off the Irish coast, we don't know that, simply, do we not?
Well, our naval service has capabilities to search and survey underwater remotely, and obviously we have to carry out those activities to ensure that critical infrastructure is not compromised, and we continue to do that. So until there comes a point, which hopefully will not happen, that ships from a foreign nation engage in activities such as that, we cannot take any action at the moment. And as I said, and it's important to note, that right from the Arctic down to the west coast of Africa, often Russian ships do use that channel.
But it seems quite weak,
if you don't mind
me saying so. It seems quite weak. No communication with the vessels, no communication with the embassy, simple observance of what they're doing. We're not absolutely sure what they're doing. Is it a weak response from the Irish government?
Absolutely not. As I said, from 2022, patrols have been stepped up around critical infrastructure. We have to do that on behalf of the Navy, and they are being resourced to do that. But just to be very clear in relation to it, obviously I'm not aware of the details of the operational capacity in terms of what engagement would have happened with any vessels that go around, because that's obviously, as part of our national security, I wouldn't have that operational data in front of me. But as far as I'm aware, and I'm reliably informed through the department, there's no area in terms of a concern that international law has been infringed at any stage, that they were just transiting through the EEZ.
Can I ask you about Conor Gallagher's report in the Irish Times today about our national arrangements for air defence and the lack of transparency around this deal, this air defence deal we have with the UK and the RAF? Why was there no dull debate on that?
Well, first of all, these are areas of national security. So the Dáil obviously elects the government to take and make policy in relation that obviously protects our country. We have to be very clear that we can't go into detail on those operational issues.
So you're saying it can't be discussed with the Dáil?
It can't be discussed in detail, absolutely not. Really? Issues of national security that are very serious in terms of the operation of it. What the Dáil has to be assured of, and the Irish people have to be assured of, is that our neutrality is not compromised in any way. Our capacity as a sovereign nation to take our own decisions is not compromised. And obviously, all traffic that goes into our airspace has to be unarmed. It cannot carry explosives. And any intelligence gathering, if someone sought to do that, we would have to be informed of it. So we have very strict rules in terms of to comply with our neutrality. And obviously the case in question, that report in question in the Irish Times, is before the court. So again, that's a second issue which I just cannot go into.
But is it true that senior Irish Air Corps officers raised concerns about the legalities of the agreement?
No, I'm not aware of that. From my discussions with the department and the government, we're very confident that any arrangements we enter into as a state, we're very clear that they do respect our sovereignty and that they do critically respect our neutrality. That's something as a state we take very dear.
And it's something the Attorney General obviously has advised on, this arrangement, is it?
I can't comment on that, Cormac, because I don't want to go into the detail in relation to our national security policy.
No, I mean, I'm not asking you to go into the detail about the national security issues, obviously, but I'm asking you if the government sought legal advice as to the legality of it.
First of all, I can't comment on national security, but secondly, obviously, any issue to government, any government decision that is made by the Cabinet, the Attorney General is over. That's his job as the constitutional law officer of the government. And it's very clear in terms of all advice from the AG is always respected and adhered to.
I want to move on to another issue, but if there are calls to have the general principle of going into an agreement with the UK on air defence, if there's a call to have that debate in the Dáil, would you submit to it?
No, I think what we need to be clear, and the Dáil needs to be clear on, is that the government does not engage in any agreements, security or otherwise, that compromise our neutrality and that compromise our sovereignty.
We just
and the
can't
government
take
is very
the
clear
government's,
it does
we,
not
we,
do that.
Minister, with respect, we just can't take the government's word on stuff like that. Surely there has to be accountability.
The reality is, Cormac, and unfortunately, issues of national security are very, very sensitive. And obviously, if we were to debate the operational issues of national security agreements over the airwaves, well, that would leave us very, very compromised as a country.
Okay.
But we can't do that, unfortunately.
Okay, nobody's suggesting that, obviously. Can I ask?
Or bring it into the House to... Like, the Dáil is not the forum to debate the operational aspects of any agreement that the state may or may not have.
I'm talking about the wider principle, but we can take that up at another point. I'm sure it will be taken up in the Dáil as well. You're quite busy on another matter today to celebrate Europe Day, marking 50 years since Ireland joined the European Union. How has it been marked? How have you been busying yourself today?
Yeah, I've been very busy today. I was in five schools in Westmeath, Loretto, St Finian's, St Cremin's and Multifarnham presentation, and Wilson's Hospital. You'll be familiar with them,
indeed,
Cormac. And we've had a very enjoyable day going around to schools and really pointing out that we can never take for granted our membership of the European Union, how we value our European citizenship in Ireland. We see through the polling data on a monthly basis, it's upwards of 88%. But it's important that we bring that message to our younger people in terms of how it transformed our economy, our society, our human rights and our culture. And it's very important that we engage with young people through that. And that's what we've been doing for today.
OK. Can I ask you, it seems extremely busy, all right. Can I ask you on another matter to finish with? We were discussing the crisis of homelessness, a brief you held as Minister of State for Housing, a related matter earlier in a previous role. But we discussed homelessness earlier on in the programme, in particular older people facing eviction. You may have heard the interview earlier today with 78-year-old Micheline Walsh, who's 3 weeks away now from being made homeless. I just wonder, what can be done for older people facing eviction on fixed incomes without the means to pay for the high rents expected in the market now?
Well, the critical thing we are doing is trying to increase supply on a very solid trajectory. And you can see that in terms of the data that's coming in month on month. We need a very strong supply of long-term sustainable rental properties and to ensure that people get access to sustainable accommodation. And every single week that goes by, the government is focused on doing that. We have a 45% increase in the output from 2022 to 2021 in terms of the number of units that are brought into our economy. We're faced with a very difficult position, obviously, when you have a situation where demand obviously exceeds supply. We have to work so hard at increasing our supply, and the government is absolutely doing that. And evidence backs that up, because all your listeners will be able to look around now in their locality and see very significant sites that work has commenced on. The people and builders are working on trying to deliver those new homes.
We spoke with Onó Briniú, Sinn Féin Minister, earlier, and he said urgent cases needed urgent action. He mentioned modular housing. Have a listen to what he had to say and what he advised the government to do, and I'll get your reaction.
I don't see why it would not be possible for government to say, we'd like to end older person homelessness as quickly as possible. Use the resources of the state, use emergency planning powers and procurement powers, and put in place a stream of accommodation to ensure that those people who are in emergency accommodation, prioritising those in greatest need, who are most vulnerable, who are older, who have children, and get them out more quickly. Last week, the Office of Public Works came in and gave us a presentation on the provision of high-grade modular accommodation to provide temporary respite for people fleeing the war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They're delivering 700 units of accommodation. Somebody could pick up the phone to Kieran O'Connor in the Office of Public Works today and say, can we now do that and supply 1,000 or more high-quality units?
What is your reaction to that? And don't talk to me about the routine supply coming from Housing for All. Is there an emergency response, Minister, for cases of extreme vulnerability?
Well, there is. In the first instance, we have the tenant in situ scheme, which is well established now this year, and we have a section within the Department of Housing driving it. So if you have a vulnerable tenant that's in a tenancy, that the local authority now has the capacity to purchase that property to ensure that the individual or the family is not evicted. That's a key tenant. Secondly, I think it's very important that we engage with and work with the OPW, as they are now building modular units, rapid build units, on, I think, six sites that have commenced right around the country. And we have to continue that at pace. But when I hear Onó Briniú on talking about housing, when he opposes every single move the government try to bring new homes into our economy, and we see in relation to vacant properties through a pre-corn house,
those schemes are inadequate to deal with the rate of homelessness. And my question is there a particular, a different emergency response for cases of extreme vulnerability?
We are in a wartime footing on housing, and the government is using every tool at its disposal. And you saw a few weeks ago there the scrapping of development levies for public utilities, trying to get more high quality housing delivered in our state. And that's one of the critical things, is the units that have been built now are of the highest energy rating. They're very sustainable homes that help transform our economy as well. But we are working as hard as we can to bring as many new units into our economy every single week, to a stage where you have almost 500 first-time buyers getting their keys to their new home every single week at the moment. And the government is fixated with housing to deliver, to ensure that we get as many new homes over the coming months and years
and
ahead.
And yet 78-year-olds are facing homelessness. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Minister Peter Burke, thank you very much indeed.